I won't be long, but I want to help you, and I want to teach you something that will help you in your individual life. And I told you on Sunday night, we got together, and I told you then, I got my card out. I almost shopped till it dropped. And we talked about that on Sunday night. And then last night, we found out that we can't afford to get distracted. Last night, if you were here, like he said, grapes, bananas, all over the place last night. You don't know what, you don't never know what is going to happen. Some of our folks in church said, you know what? I said, I don't come to hear you preach. I come to watch you preach. Say, because you're going to do something crazy. I know. I said, well, that's just the way I am. How many glad you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Man, it's good to be saved by the grace of God. I want you to go ahead and take your Bibles tonight and look at some familiar scripture. But I just want to, I feel like this is where God wants us to go. And I'm going to show you a little something here. Romans chapter number 8. And I want you to look at verse number 28. Romans 8:28. I saw a familiar scripture. I feel a breath from another world. And I ain't even got going yet. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You'll find out. It don't take much for preachers still to get going. Because I'm already cranked up when I get here. You see, Lord have mercy. I better go ahead because if that don't. I'm just thinking about the fact of how that, you know, whenever God cranks you up, the devil can't turn you off. Am I right about it? Let's stand together in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. I want you to know, so I want to teach you something tonight. I want to preach at you, but I really want to teach you something to take home. I really feel like tonight that somebody is dealing with some stuff that's been keeping you up all night, and you're wondering how I'm going to get through this and why is it like this. Well, I hope tonight you'll get something out of this, because Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. Predestinate seems like a real big word. It simply means predetermined. Foreknowledge, God already knew. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predetermine or predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when you did predestinate, then he also called. And him he called, he then he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him not free to give us all things? Go back to Romans 8:28. The Bible said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, y'all going to help me again tonight. Brother Wilshire, I told him at the church, I make my whole church help me preach the message. We quote the title together, and every time I get to a point, I have them say it with me. By the time I get through, they can tell you the message. I promise you that, because they just preached it too. But I'm not going to do you like that. But I just want you to make your neighbor aware of something tonight. And just tell anybody, look at somebody and tell them like you really. You know how as you be trying to tell some, they're going through something and you really want them to hear what you're saying. That's how I want you to tell them. Just go ahead and tell your neighbor on either side of you. Say, neighbor, there are going to be some detours along the way. Tell your other neighbor, say, neighbor, there will be some detours along the way. You're going to get this in a minute. Now, Father, I want to thank you and praise you and give you glory. And what you've done in this house, I thank you for preacher. Reverend, I thank you for this wonderful wife. I thank you for this great church that you raised up this out of heaven. I praise your name. What you did last night, what you did Sunday night, a young lady that got saved by the grace of God, and the saints of God that got some help. Lord, I realize every day I live that you don't have to have me. But God, I surely have to have you. I beg you to walk over this place and throw your weight around, bind every demon, bind every devil in hell. Lord, I pray you find that one. Not sure they're saved by the grace of God. Let me walk in lost. Let them walk out saved. Somebody may walk in defeated. Let them walk out in victory. I pray, God, that one that's been staying up every night, walking the floor, can't sleep at night. Help them to know tonight that there's a God you can cast all that care upon, because you care for us. Lord, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Lord, have mercy. I tell you, listen to me tonight. I want you to understand something tonight. Last night, one of the things that you can't afford to do is allow the enemy. I put it to you this way. Let me give you a preacher's secret, and it'll bring home what I'm trying to say. When I got started in the ministry, my pastor set me down before we ever started New Life. And he said to me, "Preacher, let me tell you something, son." He said, "When you hit that pulpit," he said, "your people, I don't need to see an up and down preacher. Well, you're up sometime and you're down the next." And he said, "Because what you're teaching the people, that they got an up and down God." He said, "Son, the God I serve is the same yesterday and today and forever." And so when you come to that pulpit, I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're going through. Don't ever let the devil make him feel that he got more power than God has. And I'll say to you in the house of God, that just because you're dealing with some stuff tonight, don't ever let the devil know that what make him feel that what you're dealing with is bigger than the God you serve. Because whatever you're dealing with, you got a God that's bigger than what you're dealing with. Do I have a witness in the house? Say amen right there. That's why. When I come down to the house of God, whoo, and I come inside, I just got them already stirred. I deal with stuff just like you deal with. But I've seen God too many times. I bring me through too many things and do too much stuff. There's no need for me to doubt it now. I come too far. I have to look back now and realize that the same God has brought me this far. That the same God that had carried the rest of the way. We sang that song. We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed us yet. Anybody got a God that's never failed you? Say amen right there. Watch this. Let me show you something. Whoa, we're going to get this in a minute. But can I preach? I get y'all to help me for just a moment. Y'all come up here. I want to show you something tonight. Brother Wilshire, I got to studying something. Would y'all hold this for me? But yeah, stand side by side. You come on around. Get up here a little bit where I can get behind you. Right there. Watch this. I got to studying something that I don't want you to miss. The Bible said in Hebrews 11. Well, let me let you look at it. Lord, have mercy. Hey, whoa, I'm about to. Hebrews 11. I want you to look at something. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Look at verse 3. The Bible said, through faith, we understand that the worlds, with a W-O-R-L-D, with an S on it, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to mess you up in a minute. Now, write this down. Colossians 1:15 said this: God created the invisible and the visible. In other words, here's what Hebrews is saying. What you see, it's not made of things which do appear. There is two worlds. There is a visible world, and then there's a world that's invisible. There's a world you can see, and it's a world you can't see. And what you can see was made from what you can't see. Good God Almighty. You're going to get this in a minute. What I'm trying to get you to understand, The enemy wants you to look right here. Right. Whatever you're dealing with, he wants your eyes right there. He wants you to think that everything that you can see, that's all that it is. With 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, if our life, verse 19, is all based on what we can see, we of all men most miserable. Right. But what you can see is not his control of what you can't see. Yeah. Now, hey, there's a God that made that what you can see was made out of what you can't see.
Go ahead, preacher.
All right, come here. I'm taking you on a journey tonight. Watch this. Now, I'm telling you something. Don't you remember when the disciples were going through that storm and they was going round and round out on the sea? What did the Lord do when they woke Jesus up? He was already telling them why he was sleeping through the storm. He was just showing them what you can see.
Right.
Is controlled by what you can't see.
Right.
Then he stepped out and said, hey, it's enough of that peace. He spoke to what you couldn't see and said, be still. Yeah. He talked to what you couldn't see was controlling what you could see. And what God wants you and I to understand, that you and I live in the world. And that's why when you read this word of God and people walking by faith, and you wonder every time they'll take that word of God and do what God said. Watch this. David stood up with that big old giant Goliath, and he's running his mouth. And David said,
go ahead.
David said, if you knew what I knew, you're going by what you can see. I'm going by what you can't see. Because what you can't see will control what you can see.
Right.
And so what he said, I tell you what, he said, come here, watch this. And David, Goliath was running his mouth. That's what gave David so much confidence. He said, hey, run your mouth, big boy. I got something for you. He said, I'll feed your carcass and the birds of the air. David said, bring it on. And they wouldn't put that mantle on David. Had him put all that big old shield, all that manner. David took that stuff off. Said, I ain't got to put on another man's garment. Said, I already got on one. But you can't see it. Because I'm not living by what you can see. I'm living by what you can't see. And he said, whenever Goliath, he said, bring it on. He said, come on. And David took his sling, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. When he let it go, God stepped out behind and said, let me have that. Toop, grabbed that stone. Toop, stuck it in his head. He fell to his knees. And David went down, cut his head off. Said, buddy, you don't realize I'm not living by what you can see. I'm living by what you can't see. You better help me in this house. Thank you, preacher. Thank y'all. I want you to get that in your soul. I said, when you walk out of this place, I want you to understand that that's the reason. All right, think about it this way. Watch this, Brother Wilshire. Well, watch this. You ain't never seen salvation, brother. I've never seen it either. I didn't see Jesus die. I didn't see him shed his blood. I didn't see him come up on resurrection morning. But I know he did by faith. And Romans 10:9 said, the word of faith is in your mouth, even in your heart. As we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised it from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I don't care where you were. At the moment that you've prayed, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Come in your heart and save you, believing that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected for you. God stepped out in heaven and stepped right over in your soul. Why? Because what you couldn't see is controlled by what you can see. It's controlled by what you can't see. That's why we pray to a God that we can't see. And he'll show up. Let us see him. I'm telling you right now, God wants to shake somebody tonight. That's why you don't need to give up on your child. That's why you won't give up on your marriage. That's why you won't give up on your ministry. That's why you won't give up on your life. Of what you can't see. Can't see. It's control of what you can't see. Are you with me? Say amen. Let me get this to you. Y'all got me so messed up. Woo! Let me get this to you. I want you to get that up front so I can walk you through these things here in just a moment. Now, have you ever, brother, been riding down the interstate? And boy, everything's going smooth. You're riding down the interstate. Boy, everybody, you pull off, exit, get you something to eat, get you some gas. And then about half the crowd lay back in the car asleep. And all of a sudden, you start slowing down. And you get slower and slower and slower. And all of a sudden, people in the back start waking up. Folks beside you waking up say, what in the world's wrong? And now you're running bumper to bumper. And you get down there. There's a sign that says you're going to have to take a detour. And when you see that sign, you say, oh, no. Especially if you're running, if you're pushing for time. You said, oh, no. And you take that detour. Well, tonight, I want you to see three things tonight. Because I'm going to let you see Romans 8:28 in action tonight. Because what I want you to understand is this. First of all, if you're taking notes, God has a call on your life. Everybody in this room that's saved by the grace of God, God has a call on your life. Everybody in here, how many know you're saved by God's grace? Say amen. Amen. Everybody up in here has a call on your life. Look at the verse, Romans chapter 8. And look at verse number 28. The Bible said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. And to them who are what? Called according to his purpose. Notice something. God has a call on your life. Can I tell you something tonight? I don't care where you came from. I don't care where you live. I don't care who your daddy is, who your mama is, what your situation is. Everybody got a call on your life. That's why you should never make yourself feel less than anybody else. Because everybody up in here was not created by the hands of a man, but you were created by the hand of Almighty God. And the same God that saved you and washed you, this God has put a call on your life. Watch this. Watch this. Don't you know Ecclesiastes? 3:1 said this, to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose in heaven. All of us have a purpose. You're not just called, but you have a purpose. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this ministry. God, preacher, I know sometimes, I know how it is. Because when we started New Life, and our building, our auditorium, our seats 12 to 1,400 people. And we got three sections in the balcony all the way around. But I'll tell you, and I know just like you, you want to see every pew in here when you come to the house of God. You want to see it filled up. And God is taking you there. But I'm going to show you something in just a minute. But I want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now watch this. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Watch this, my friend. The Bible said, here's what I want you to see. God never created anything without a purpose. You got my phone. Bring my phone here for just a minute. See if I can get a signal. Brother, can you give me this mic for just a moment? Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to mess you up for just a minute if I can get this on. Watch this. Now, I want to show you something. Let me turn my speaker. I know you don't want to have no phone in the church, but I got mine tonight. Because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to mess you up here in just a minute. Watch this. Make sure my volume is turned up. Because I want you to hear it. Now, how many in here love and just how many in here love a gnat? You say, you don't love no gnat? Let me show you something. What is the purpose of a gnat?
According to Washington Post, gnats are small flies of the suborder Nematocera, which also includes midges, crane flies, and mosquitoes. Whether we like them or not, gnats serve a purpose in nature. They are an important food source for birds, bats, and larger insects.
I want you to notice something. Everything that God created has a purpose. What is the purpose of, what's the purpose of a snake? I don't care for them.
According to ehp.qld.gov, without them, the numbers of prey species would increase to unnatural levels, and the predators that eat snakes struggle to find food.
God has a purpose for every single thing. Right. Stuff that we don't like. You say, preacher, watch this. What's the purpose of a roach? God knows that.
According to Quora, many cockroaches live in warm, tropical areas and feed on decaying wood and leaves. They help break down this organic debris. In the process, they add nutrients to the soil through their waste.
Everything that God ever created has a purpose. And if God got a purpose for a roach, and God got a purpose for a gnat, and I could have told you about a fly and a snake. Don't you know God has a purpose for you? And the enemy has been trying to get you to kill yourself. I blow your brains out because of the fact that you may not have what somebody else have. You may not live what they live. May not drive what they drive. The truth of the matter is, you're not rich because what you have on the outside. You're rich what you have on the inside. Being rich ain't what you got on the outside. Being rich is having Jesus on the inside. Am I a witness in the house? Everybody up in this place, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You believe that? Say amen. I know sometimes, Brother Wilshire, you can go through some stuff and you feel like that you're going to lose your mind. But boy, don't lose your mind. You got to save your mind. You'll see in just a minute. Whoa! Number two, I want you to see, number one, that God has a call on your life. And number two, between your purpose and between your destination, there's going to be some detours. God has a destination and God has a purpose, but between the two, it's going to be some detours. All right, let me show it to you. Take your Bible and go with me to Exodus chapter 3 and look at verse number 14. Exodus 3, maybe about 17. But watch this. When Israel was 430 years in Egypt's bondage, they crying out to God. I'm going to show you something that will bless your heart. Look at verse 17. Here's the promise. Exodus 3:17. The Lord said, I have said, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of the Egypt unto a land of the Canaanites, of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, God said, I'm going to bring you up out of and take you into. Watch this. Look at chapter 13. Now they got an opportunity to go to this land. Why? Watch what God says. Exodus 13:17. Watch this. But let's read verse 17. But the Bible said it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, and God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistine, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, and when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Watch this class. Look up this way. God said, I could have took them a short way, but I took them around the long way. Brother, could you come help me stand up there for just a moment? Watch this. Good God, I feel. Come here, Matt. Watch this. I want to show you something. Whoa, let me show you God, you sir. God said, look, I am taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Why, after all you've been through, God just didn't walk you straight through the short way and get you there fast as he could? Well, here's the reason why. God said, because, let me put it to you this way where you can grab it. Have you ever been going to have a surprise birthday party for somebody? And what you're doing, now, they don't know you're going to have a party, preacher. So what they've done, they are at the house fixing everything up. And then you'll call them on the phone and say, have y'all got it ready yet? They say, man, give us about 30 more minutes. So they'll take the brother, and they say, hey, man, let's go over to Walmart. And you're stalling for time. Why? Because they're fixing up what he's going to get in just a little bit. But he ain't ready for it yet because it's not ready yet. Well, over in that land that flows with milk and honey was the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Amorites. What were they doing? They was over there building vineyards. They was over there building houses. They were putting their streams and grapes and muscadines and bananas, planting all kind of food. They thought they was doing it for themselves. But God had them getting ready for a people that was coming this way. And so God said, for are they not ready yet, I'm going to take you on a detour and take you along wrong way. Hush, they're getting ready. What they got for you, it's not ready yet. Oh, you're going to get it in a minute. Some of you wondering why it seems like some brothers and sisters, they just go straight to their promise. And then it seems like you go all the way around, just taking detours. He was all over the place. Man, he said, Lord, when is it going to be my time? But God said, there's two things I want you to know. I don't have it ready yet, and you're not ready yet. Because if I put on you what you asking me right now, you can't handle it. God said they couldn't handle it. If they went to the land of Philistine, then they got afraid. I caused it a war. He said, I got to get you ready, and then I got to get this ready. So God said, don't give up on me. And just because you hadn't got there yet, that's why I'm taking you around a detour. Oh, and God said, but I'm taking you there. Don't give up on the detour. I'm taking you places. Oh, you're going to get it in a minute. Thank you, brothers. God is taking you. I've been traveling the interstate, and I've had to get off and take some detours. And brother, I've done it before. And you know what I've said? I'd have never knew all this is back in here. Because I didn't know they had all this. When you get off that interstate, you discover stuff that you've never seen before. And God said, I don't want you just going straight in, because you're going to miss all this other stuff that I want you to see. I want you to watch the miracles that I've done behind the scene. I want you to see a God that's in control. And some of you know tonight, there are some things that you've had to deal with. There's some stuff that you've had to go through, and you look back over your shoulder and you said, God, I'd have never seen what I saw if you never took me around this way. I go, oh Lord, instead of you, I hate now. You're praising God because God took you around a detour and let you see stuff that you've never seen before. Am I right about it? Some of you, that relationship that you thought you were going to be with that man for the rest of your life, y'all dated and bubbly. He made you melt like a stick of butter. When he would talk, he said, baby, what? He called you up and said, baby, what you doing? And you say, what you doing? He said, I'm just kissing your picture. You're so beautiful. I love you. And when he said you got weak in the knees, it started to buttery melt. You thought that was going to be your woman for life. Something happened. And boy, all of a sudden, the relationship went the other way. Boy, you stood there with tears running down your face. I've just been times that you went in business with somebody and did ministry with somebody, and they walked off and left you hanging. You said, God, what in the world? But what you didn't know the whole time, God was taking you around a detour. Why? Because there were some people that was going to roll with you. There were some people that were going to stay with you, that would walk with you as you walk with God. And God said, you'll never run into them if I don't take you off the road. So I'm going to get you off the interstate and take you around the long way and let you meet some people that you've never met before. And all now, if you look back now over your shoulder, that you married that man and you married that woman, and you ought to write them people a letter that kicked you to the curb and said, boy, did you do me a favor? I'd have never met this woman. I'd have never met this man. I'd have never been in this ministry. I'd have never been where I am right now if it hadn't have been for you. Oh, church, let your haters become your elevators. I said, let your haters become your elevators. Ah, listen to me. God is in control. Why? Because Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and they that are called according to his purpose. He has a call on your life. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. You're going to go through some detours. Oh, let me give you my last one. Number three. If you go on through your detours, you'll reach your destination. Yes. Hey, Florida's still there. You just have to go around the long way. You know what I thought about? Man of God, there's times God will take us off the road. There's a big old truck, maybe sleepy, going to hit us head on. So God, let a tire blow out. Let this happen. And when we get to heaven, we're going to say, Lord, I don't understand all this. He said, come here. See that truck? See that happen? See what the enemy had planned for you? I was in control of your life every step of the way. I was guiding you. And you was, I know you didn't understand. But I just want you to know that what you can see is controlled by what you can't see. I watch you. I am there every step of the way. Oh, I seen that child. I seen him. I had him on the hook the whole time. Yeah. You know when you go fishing? I like to fish with a cork. Because you can, I like to see it bobble like that. And I know something. I love it. Go ahead, boy. Have yourself a time. He take that thing on the shoot. I just, ha! Oh, yeah. Now, you don't get him in just like that. It takes you a minute. You got to reel him. He's, some of you have raised your children, your grandbabies. You took that blackback 1611 King James Bible and you taught them ever since they're little boys and girls. Taught them the word of God. They grew up in Sunday school. Now they out here running wild, out of control. Can't do nothing with them. Can I tell you something? That book is like a hook. Isaiah chapter 55 said, my word shall not return to me void. It accomplished where I sent it. That book is like a hook. They got a hook in them. He didn't say, listen, he said, train them up in the way they should go. And when they get older, it won't depart from them. And God will reel them right back in. They're coming right back. They'll be saying, Daddy, Mama, I know y'all tried to pray for me. I thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your prayers. Oh, God, I could have died out there. But God let me come back home. I'm telling you, my friend, tonight, there's some detours. I like life. But I want you to know, if you hang on through the detours, you will arrive at your destination. Am I right about it? You might not get there when somebody else do. You might not get there in their time, but you'll get there on time. Because God's time is always on time. I said God's time is always on time. Am I right about it? Whew. I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to quit. Wow. Yes. I told the church, brother, sometimes when you can't see your way, you ought to tweet this. Sometimes when you can't see your way, you can just hear your way. Because faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Sometimes you can't see, but you can hear it. Come unto me, all the labor. I'll give you some rest. Hey, I'm for you. Can't nobody be against you. Hey, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly. All you can even ask to think. Hey, the Lord, if he built the house, he don't want you rising up early, sitting up late at night, eating the bread of sorrow. He'll give you some sleep. I don't sleep. I don't slumber. You can't hear it. You can't always see your way, but you can always hear your way. And there's going to be times that you're dealing with some stuff that you ain't going to be able to see it, but you can hear it. As long as you hear it, bless God, it won't be long. When you get over here, where God wants you to be, I promise you, you're going to look back and say, Lord, have mercy. Now I know that all things work together for the good of them that love you. And they did a call according to your purpose. I promise you, you're going to see it if you hang on. I promise you, I know what I'm talking about. So I just want to stop by and tell you tonight. Just in trying to encourage your heart that you remember what you can see is controlled by what you don't see. And my friend, your life has a purpose. And in your purpose, between your destiny and your purpose, there are going to be some detours, some relationships. There are going to be some stuff going to hit you. Can I tell you this? Can I wrap it up? I was up last week in Princeton, Virginia. Me and Brother Dr. John Smith preached together. He said, I'm going to wrap it up about 14 times. So I ain't going to do that much. I'm going to wrap it up with this one. But my oldest son, Michael, brother, when Michael was born, my wife wanted a girl so bad, she thought I first going to be had a head full of hair. But I know she was out of it because back then they didn't have no epidurals. But we had went to Braxton. We went to Lamar's classes. I don't know if some of y'all ever did that, but you know, they're going to teach you how to breathe in, breathe out. Lamar's in the classes. So me and my wife, we took them classes. And the boy, they said, she's about 2 centimeters. And all of a sudden, oh, a pain hit her. I said, baby, you okay? Oh, she said, I said, breathe in, breathe out. She said, get away from me. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Brother, Braxton and Hex went out the door. No, wait a minute. Was she dying? No. The pain was a sign that a miracle was about to be born. And what I want you to know, some of you have been hit tonight. Oh, your children. Oh, your finances. Oh, what somebody said. Oh, you walked through a divorce. Oh, you lost your house. Oh, you lost your car. Oh, you feel like you're going to lose your mind. Don't give up. That's why I told you a moment ago, don't you lose your mind. Because those pains and stuff you're dealing with, it ain't a sign that you're dying. It's a sign that you're about to have a miracle sitting on your lap. Oh, God. Somebody in the house ought to give God some glory right there. I said you're going to, and when you see the miracle that God is going to put on your lap, you're going to forget all about the pain. That's the miracle. It's going to be so much greater than the pain. I'm telling you right now, all things work together for the good of them that love God and they that are called according to his purpose. Somebody give God glory right there.